In 1519, Hernan Cortes made a decision that would echo through history. Upon landing on the shores of the New World, he faced impossible odds. Outnumbered and surrounded by uncertainty, he gave an audacious order: burn the ships. With no way to retreat, his men had one choice: fight to succeed or die trying. And they did succeed. Cortes' story isn't just about conquest, it's about commitment. It's about making bold decisions, eliminating excuses, and going all in on your vision. Welcome to Burning the Ships, the podcast where we explore what it means to take risks, push boundaries, and refuse to look back. I'm Jason Seward, your host. In each episode, we'll share stories, strategies, and insights to help you tackle your challenges head on, overcome obstacles, and make your own history. This is Burning the Ships. Let's get started. Welcome to Burning the Ships podcast. I'm your host, Jason Seward, and I am back with another weekly ramble. And this week I'm going to talk about a recent trip that my daughter and I just took. Y'all hear me talk quite a bit on this podcast and every other thing I do about my kids and my family and stuff. They're everything to me, but my daughter and I were able to take a daddy-daughter trip out west. For those that don't know, I'm in Virginia. We're on the East Coast, and we had an opportunity to join several other dads that I didn't know. I knew a few of them just through some networking groups that I'm in, but I think it was 12 daddy and daughters all together. We got or a couple Airbnbs out in St. George, or just outside of St. George in Hurricane, Utah. And Emma and I flew out a day early, spent a day and night in Las Vegas, and drove up the next day. Took about a 2-hour drive to get to where we stayed in Utah, and spent a few days with those folks up there. And this ramble is just going to be kind of my reflection of that trip. And we had Emma and I, which we're already extremely tight. I mean, she and I have a very, very strong relationship, always have. But this trip and these few days, I always felt that, you know, I couldn't imagine being any closer as a father-daughter. That's always been important to me. But we walked away came back home from this trip even closer than I thought we could ever be. So I'm going to get into some details about that, kind of dive into some things we did, some breakthroughs we had as a father-daughter, just some, you know, we had some really good bonding experiences, and it was good. So before I get into all that, I will hit y'all with JJ's joke of the week. And this week it is, how do you organize a party in space? You plan it. And that's JJ's joke of the week. I like that one. For those of y'all that don't know, JJ is absolutely obsessed with a couple things, a lot of things, actually. And he is, when I say he's obsessed, you'd be surprised at how much knowledge he has around these things. And those things are space. So outer space, he can tell you every planet. He can tell you how many moons every planet has, what their atmosphere is like, what their, just things I have never learned, and I learned through hearing him talk about it. So we have fun with him quizzing me, and you know, it's fitting that this joke has to do with space. But a couple other things he's just fanatical about, which this is kind of a strange one, but he loves flags, like country. He can probably, I would say, 3/4 of the countries in the world, you tell him the country, and he can describe to a T what their flag looks like, you know, where the colors are and stuff like that. He gets real frustrated when he gets one wrong, but he'll go and look it up and figure it out and then add that to his arsenal. So we have fun with that, too. If you ever see him out and about, give him a random country, and he may not have them all, but most of the time he's going to be able to, you know, describe pretty close what the flag is. So anyway, back to the topic of this week's episode. So several months ago, probably 6 months ago or so, I'm a part of a a group called Dad Edge. It's led by Larry Hagner, and I'm in. He's got several levels of that group. I'm in the what they call the business boardroom. So it's about 60 members, and it's for like entrepreneurs and stuff. But very good group. I'm taking a break from it currently just because we're so busy in our business. I'm finding it trouble with that and everything else that we have going on. I'm finding it hard to get the value from the group that it offers. But I'm still very connected to the group. But Larry reached out to several members of that group and that he knew had daughters. Now, Larry himself has 4 sons, so he knows nothing about raising daughters. So he got one of his team members and Jason McKenzie and Jason's daughter, who is I think 21, 22, but he got them to head up this daddy-daughter retreat. And he invited me. I looked at the dates, knowing that in June it was going to be very difficult because, I mean, the kids are finishing up school. We got swim going on. We got baseball. We got cheer camps and summer camps, all this stuff going on. But I committed to it. Now I said, we're going to do it. It's an opportunity. I mean, I could take Emma anywhere, anytime. But this was an opportunity to get both of us, well, more so her. I'm comfortable in most situations, but get her uncomfortable a little bit, meeting some new people, flying across the country, and it was just going to be a great experience, and that's how we approached it. So I asked her if she'd be interested. I showed her the place we were staying. She loved it. I told her we would go early and stay in Vegas for a night and see some shows, and so she was all about it. And I'll kind of walk you through everything leading up to it because, you know, there's a lot. You can imagine she's 13. She's going through a lot of changes, and she, you know, like many kids, they get comfortable in their bubbles, right? They get comfortable in routines of, you know, knowing who they know and liking who they like and, you know, just get very complacent in that. Well, this was going to push her outside of that comfort zone. Again, traveling across the country, she was just that alone she was nervous about. I mean, we've done trips as a family where we get on a short plane ride and, you know, we went to just a couple months ago down to Dominican Republic, but she was with the whole family and, you know, wasn't much anxiety around that. Well, this was, you know, a very long plane ride, going a couple different time zones over, going to a very busy area to start off with in Las Vegas, and then going to really this retreat with, for Emma, you got 12 dads, 12 daughters that she has no idea who they are. So she's walking into an environment, literally meeting 24 people the first time she's ever met them. And a lot of girls that were in her age range, I think the youngest girl there was 9. Most were like that 11 to 13, Emma's age. And then there were a couple that were like 15, I think. And then all of their dads. So leading up to it, she was all excited until the trip got closer. And then she started getting anxious about a few things. One of those was like, what are the sleeping arrangements, right? She wanted to sleep in a room with me just because she didn't know what all that was going to be about. And that would have been an option. Like if she would have freaked out when we got there and just was not comfortable sharing a bunk room with other girls, she could have certainly, you know, slept with me. But she had a lot of nervousness around that alone, just like what being around these people that she doesn't know, just nervous about it. So, you know, me and Katie both just letting her know it'll be fine. She has that option that if she's not comfortable at any time during this trip, you know, I'm there. I'm just down the hall if she needs me. So there was that. Then there was, again, the anxiety around flying, all of that. A lot of anxiety around just being away from her mama, right? As close as Emma and I are, you know, Katie does a lot of the heavy lifting when it comes to the kids, right? I mean, I'm certainly a part of it, but I mean, she is the comfort blanket for these kids. And I am to some degree as well. But I'll never be a mother, right? I'll never be able to have that or give that level of nurture and stuff like that Katie provides to them. So while Emma has stayed away and stays at friends' houses, you know, a night or two or for a weekend, she's traveled with, my mom out of town and down to the beach for a week and stuff like that. But that's with Nanny, somebody she knows, and also provides that kind of motherly nurturing. And same thing with Katie's mom, when she spends time with her, it's a comfort factor there. But going out of town for, I think we were gone Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, 4 nights, into an environment she doesn't know, and without the biggest comfort blanket she has, which is her mama, that produced a lot of anxiety. So there was a lot of excitement about like unknowns and what we were going to do, but then there was a lot of nervousness around the unknowns as well. So all of that, led, and Katie had some anxiety around it. If you guys just listen to, I'm recording this prior to this episode, Katie's interview coming out, but it by the time this comes out, this will be right on the heels of that episode. So Katie had obviously on that episode talked about her journey through dealing with anxiety and stuff like that. But we actually talked about this trip because we recorded Katie's episode before we took the trip. But she had that was a big step for her to not that she doesn't trust me to take our daughter across the country, but just being separated from us. I mean, she gets anxious just when I leave on golf trips or business trips and stuff like that. So you can double that anxiety when you're dealing with not just your husband, but also your child. So all that was kind of leading into it. I, you know, leading me leading up to it, it was just excitement for me. Like I wanted to go. I had to had some things come up kind of leading into the trip that were kind of compromising the schedule, but we were able to work around that, get it adjusted, and we were able to make it happen. So we leave bright and early. And we got a, I think we left the house at like 5 a.m. the morning we flew out and flew into Chicago and then into Vegas. Landed in Vegas about 11 o'clock on the first day, 11 in the morning. Get there, and as soon as we landed in Vegas, she just instantly excitement. Like she was fired up. We got to go rent a car, we got to drive through Las Vegas, kind of rode around, rode through the all the things to see. We saw it riding around first, and then we stayed at the Mandalay Bay and went there, got checked in. I mean, this place is all the big hotel and casinos there are big, if for those who have been, but it's like a resort. So she was excited, tired. We were both tired, but very excited. So we get there, get settled in, and then we just start, both of Emma and I together are wonderful because there's no sitting around with us. We do not like resting. So we got there, although we were tired, we took off and it was time to go. So we spent the next, I don't know, probably 5 or 6 hours. We went and grabbed lunch, but it was just walking around Vegas, checking out all the stores, all the sites, taking pictures. I think that afternoon, so we flew all morning, but still that afternoon and night, I think I got close to it was over 25,000 steps total in that day. And that was just in the afternoon walking around Vegas. But she was loving it, like loving everything about it. Wanted me to explain every detail, every new thing she saw. She had questions. We went into every store. She was fascinated by the by everything. And so while we're walking around, like I'm fired up too. I love being in different places. So I'm fired up. She's fired up. We're seeing all kinds of things. And it was just a great afternoon. It was hot as Hades. I mean, it was super hot. And we were, drinking plenty of water, doing our thing. But it was fun. And it was cool because we're walking. One of the things I wanted her to see was the water show in front of the, for those that are familiar, in front of the Bellagio, right there where like Caesar's Palace and everything is. So we were walking. I didn't know the times. I didn't research much of anything, but we were walking and we were getting close to the Bellagio. And I was explaining to her, like, they do a water show, I think, every couple hours there. And then, boom, it started. The music starts. We're right there at it. And we got to see it like front row. Got to see all that. And it was fun. It was just fun. I for those few hours, I was not her dad, right? We were just buddies hanging out. laughing. We laughed so hard that afternoon, just walking around, people watching, sightseeing, all those things. And it was a blast. So we go from there, and I'm going to kind of outline, you know, the whole trip just to give you all a sense of what we did. We go from there. We have to go back because we had bought tickets to the Cirque du Soleil show, the Michael Jackson show, which happened to be, coincidentally, I didn't plan this, but it was in the same hotel, the Mandalay Bay, we were staying in. So we get back and head down to that. Now, anybody that hasn't seen that show, if you're in Vegas and you get a chance to see it, all the Cirque du Soleil shows are this way. This is the first one I've seen, but I'm familiar with what they're all about. But this one, the acrobatics and the dancing and everything, just the whole orchestration of this show, with so many people, and like there's so many things that can go wrong. But how coordinated and perfect they were alongside the great music. Like it's all of the hits of Michael Jackson. It was fantastic. It was, I think an hour and a half show, and Emma and I and everybody in the audience were on the edges of our seats. Like she was dancing, singing the songs she knew. She was like, I mean, we were both jaw dropped at every new thing they did and all the stuff they were doing. So we did that. That ended a little after 8 o'clock. And what fascinated me about that, kind of a side note, is they have done this show, the Michael Jackson show, has been going on over 10 years, but they've done 5,000 shows of these same shows. You know, they tweak it over the years. But our show was 6:30 to 8 o'clock, and then they shuffle you out of there, and then new crowd comes in. There's a 9 o'clock show. The show that I saw, which I assume they did the same show for the 9 o'clock and it's the same people, it was nonstop. And these same people were doing the same dances, the acrobatics, the trapeze, the trampolines, the everything. Like it was an hour and a half workout for these people. They go back, cool down for a little bit. And right after we leave, here comes a new crowd filling up the auditorium and they're doing it again. And that just blew me away. But as a side note, but anyway, Emma and I get done with that. Now we're super tired, right? So we're 3 hours behind home time. So it's at home, it's getting around midnight. But she had plenty of energy and so did I. We get back to the room and we hadn't eaten much. And we've been kind of snacking all day, but she wanted to go just walk around and see some things. I said, well, let's go eat. So this is kind of a funny story, just me not really having a plan or knowing what was around. But I looked up, pulled up the Mandalay Bay app, and I was looking for places to eat, you know, quick bite to eat in the area or in that hotel. And there's dozens of restaurants. So I just see on the map food court. And I'm thinking, like, you go to a mall, you go to the food court, you're going to be getting, there's Chick-fil-A and McDonald's. And I just wanted something quick to get on our belly. So we get down to what's the food court, quote unquote. And first thing I see, I don't see any of the main things, right, that I'm expecting. I see a couple, like a strip of restaurants, but right there at the end of the hallway, I see strip steak. That is, and it's not what you're thinking, it's not a strip club, but it's stripped steak. I thought it was going to be a quick in and out. We can grab, you know, a sub or something like that. So we walk up, the hostess is there. I've got Emma. Emma's like in a hoodie. I think I still had a collared shirt on, but you know, I had a hat on. We were not prepared for what we were actually walking into. We walk up, the hostess is there, and I'm kind of like looking through the door of this where we're walking. She's like, two? And I said, yes, ma'am. And she said, follow her. I was like, all right. So now we're committed. Like, I can't turn around. As we're walking and we turn the corner, I see what we're walking into. It was not just a steakhouse, a very high-end steakhouse, right? Everybody's dressed to the nines. It's all, like, couples in there and groups of older people. No kids at all. And I was like, well, we're in here now. So we go and sit down. I knew what I was getting into as far as price-wise. Not really, but I suspected it was going to be nice and expensive. So we sit down. I'm like, Emma, this is going to be like probably the nicest place you'll ever eat, you know, as a kid anyway. They bring the menus. She didn't want anything on the menu. She didn't want a steak. She loved steak, but she wasn't that hungry. So she just got like a Caesar salad. And all they had were just a couple steak options. I got a bone-in ribeye, like a 20-ounce bone-in ribeye. And it was a menu that didn't have prices on it. So I knew we were in for something. So get my ribeye. We split a side. She gets her salad and I get a drink. And we get the bill at the end. And with the tip and everything, it ended up being like $220. Now, I did not go into it expecting that, but it was, we made it an experience, had fun with it. The steak was fantastic. The drink was fantastic. Her salad was fantastic. But that was just part of the trip, and we made it into a fun thing. Certainly didn't, I was expecting to spend $40 on dinner, and we outdid that a little bit. But anyway, finish that. We're tired. We go back, go to sleep. And next morning we're up and it's time to go to Utah. So now I'm going to kind of fast forward to there. When we get to Utah, the drive was amazing. Like we're going through from Vegas to up the Interstate 15 going north into Utah. And the scenery is something Emma had never seen, right? She had never seen desert. She had never seen that red rock, that kind of stuff. And so she was just window down, taking videos, pictures, just in awe. And a couple, anybody's ever done that drive will know, like, as you get into Utah, you go, like, the interstate carves through the mountains in a couple places. So you're looking way up the mountains. And it's just all red rocks and rivers below you. And it's unbelievable scenery. I had seen this stuff before. Emma had never seen it, so it was fun for her. We get there. We get there that afternoon because we kind of took our time that morning hanging out, getting breakfast and stuff like that. But we get there, and I could tell she was getting anxious, right? She's getting ready to meet people she didn't know. But we pull up, and right away, like, there's already a couple folks there. We were early, but a couple folks there, a couple girls, a couple dads, and we fall right in. I mean, I love stuff like that. I like meeting new people. And so I was excited to get to know these people. But Emma just fell right in, and all the girls were nervous. You could tell it, but they kind of went to like out to the pool and stuff. And the dads we just kind of hung out and we let them do their thing for a couple hours, like the most of the afternoon. Then we ended up getting back with them. We played some volleyball, stuff like that. So this is where the trip, like I really saw a side of Emma that I knew was there. But this was the first time she's been in a situation where, she went into it very uncomfortable and nervous. And I got to see how she responded. Like, you know, I didn't know if she was going to be super shy and just like standoffish and not interact with anybody because she doesn't know anybody. I wasn't going to try to influence anything. I just wanted to see how she reacted on her own. Well, it didn't take long to see, get my answer. She lit up the place. Absolutely lit up the place. She really quickly, you know, became everybody's best friend. And all the dads, like instantly, she was asking them questions, what they did, what their hobbies are. She was telling everybody how she hunts. She was talking smack when we got to playing volleyball. She was like the leader of the girls. It was like girls against dads. And she was talking trash constantly, not to me, to like all the other dads. And, so she quickly kind of like put her foot down as this is who I am. We're going to have fun and I'm going to make sure of it. And that was like her mentality. From that point on, there was no anxiety. She couldn't care less if I was in the room with her or away from her for hours or minutes, or it didn't matter. She was immersed into whatever the situation was. So these girls start having a ball, and Emma's kind of leading the parade as far as just being vocal and being funny and making them all laugh. Like very quickly into it, I had these other dads coming up to me. It was like, your daughter, like she doesn't seem to have any nervousness at all. I was like, no, I think that is the way she was handling the nervousness, is just to be loud and be funny and use her sense of humor to get her through the anxiety. That's the only thing I could figure. And but it was what she chose to do, and I loved it, and everybody else did too. So that night, more of the same, right? We're all hanging out. She's just cracking everybody up. Just there was a basketball goal. We were playing a game there. She was getting all the girls involved, and it was just like it was getting super competitive, and it was fun. Like, it was super fun for the dads and daughters, and Emma was kind of leading the charge with all that. During dinner, same thing. She was just sitting around the table, making everybody laugh, cracking up on me, picking on a lot of the other dads. Her and a couple of the dads, like, really connected where they were talking trash back and forth. And, that was a good time. The next day we get up and we go, over to just a couple miles down the road, but we did side-by-sides, like ATVs, or not ATVs, like these like side-by-side Polaris. They go really fast. Like, the fastest I saw mine get to was like 63 mile an hour, but we rode them in the desert. So Emma and I, like, were side-by-side. She's not old enough to drive, which is probably a good thing, but I drove, and we were in our buggy or side by side. It was a four seater. So it was another dad and daughter in there with us, they were amazing. But, I got to drive quite a bit. And I mean, I'm talking not just drive, like, this thing was fast. We're in the desert. We're flying through the desert, going down these trails. Some parts were really slow. We're climbing rocks, climbing mountains. I mean, and we just kept stopping. We'd hike a little ways. We'd take pictures. It was just unbelievable experience the whole time. We're wearing helmets. I can see Emma and I are very similar. All you need to see is our eyes to know if we're smiling or not. So the whole time she had those smiling eyes, and all I could see were like her nose and eyes through the goggles and stuff the whole time, just smiling. She kept grabbing my arm like, go faster. She was having a ball. So we do that, we have a blast, and it was, you know, probably one of the, I'd say, top 10 experiences of my life, with or without Emma. Like, if I had just done that myself, it would have been in top 10. It was an adrenaline rush. I love that stuff. I love going fast. I love the scenery. But to have her alongside and just see her light up as we did it, it couldn't have been better. So this is what I'm going to say next is probably the highlight of the trip for me. We got back and everybody's tired. I mean, that it wore us out. We were out there for several hours. Everybody's tired, and everybody's taking showers, cleaning up and stuff like that. And then the rest of the afternoon was just kind of chilling. We were all sitting around playing different games, and Emma and I went for a walk, just the two of us. It wasn't like she wanted to just go for a walk with me. But she was like blending the, I want to spend time with you, Dad. I want to get, you know, connect with you and do these things, while at the same time, you know, she was balancing that, and she wanted to go for a walk. We walked around like the golf course area and stuff like that where we were staying. But then just as quickly would go off with these girls and they'd do their thing and have fun. But we get back from our walk and we had dinner. They catered that night Chipotle. So we had like this Chipotle bar, and ate dinner. Everything's good. And we're sitting around, and I've got all this. I kind of videoed little clips of this whole thing because I could see where it was going. But we're sitting around all on couches, and all the dads and daughters are in the room, and the TV's playing, and it's just playing music videos, and somebody had put it on like different music in the videos, and Emma's sitting there, and everybody's kind of quiet, tired, nothing really going on, and Emma starts kind of singing, and if she hears this, she knows I joke on her about it all the time, but she loves singing, but she is a terrible singer, like no talent at all when it comes to singing. So we have fun with that. But she just starts belting these songs. Like, nobody else is singing. Everybody's just sitting around. And you see people, I've got one video of her singing. Like, she's the only one in the room singing. And I scan the room, and you see all these other little girls looking like confused at what she's doing. And the dads were just laughing at her. She's just cutting up. And she keeps doing it. And then she gets a couple other, why don't you sing with me? Can you sing? Do you know this song? And then next thing you know, couple more girls are singing. And then all of a sudden, and I'm again, I've got videos of all this. She, all of a sudden, over like 30 minutes of this, she's got the whole room singing the Frozen song, Let It Go. And they are belting it. Like everybody, I'm singing, the dads are singing, the daughters are singing, belting this song as loud as they can belt it. And Emma kind of got them all built up to that. So now everybody's loose, having fun. And now some of the girls and a couple of the dads were like the night before were goofing off doing like this TikTok dance. Well, Emma was like, let's do it. And it starts and a few people were doing it. And then everybody started kind of learning it. By the end of this session of sitting there, Emma had every single daughter and just about every dad standing up in this living room doing this TikTok dance. So you can imagine 20 people standing there had learned this TikTok dance, and she was kind of leading everybody doing it, and everybody's just having the time of their life. Like, we had a ball. People laughing. Nobody could dance very well. I mean, some of the girls could, and you know, but it was an absolute ball. And it all goes back to Emma just getting out of her comfort zone and choosing to deal with that nervousness by just being a character. And she wanted to get people involved. And it was the highlight of my trip. And I say all that to say that, you know, we talked, Emma and I got to talk a good bit about fear and anxiety. And one of the other dads said this and on the trip when we were talking about how fear is an opportunity to be courageous, right? So Emma had a lot of fear going on this trip, a lot of anxiety. And she leaned into it as I'm going to show courage here. I'm going to be bold. I'm going to let my personality and all of the things, her charm and all that stuff, she was going to let it come out. And she could have easily been a turtle and gone into her shell the whole weekend. And that would have been fine and understandable. That's normal. But she let it out and ended up making several new friends. And, you know, I had like the pride for me being a dad is like when we've come back, we have a group text with all these guys and dads that were involved with it. But Emma, like, was a lot of people's highlight, right? She just showed a lot of courage and did a really good job getting everybody to open up and have a good time. And I was a proud father to kind of witness that all go down. The connection piece with me and Emma, that was a big part of it. We had a lot of time just her and I together. And again, I chose to spend that time as Emma's friend for a few days, right? I'm still her dad. I got to protect her, take care of her, you know, give her advice and stuff like that. But one of the things that came out of this trip that was pretty profound to me, and it was just through conversations with her, is number one, she takes my advice like really serious. She wants to please me. That's like her, one of her biggest motivators is to please me and her mama. But she knew, and I give it, I tell her all the time how much I'm proud of her, everything she does. I lift her up. I want to build that confidence. I think that's important as she matures. But one thing I do, and she did a very good job, like letting me know this in a very real mature way, right? But through a lot of conversation, it came out that most of what I lead with her is trying to teach her things, right? I'm always taking every single thing in life that she's a part of, and I'm trying to leverage it as a teaching moment. I'm trying to advise her on everything. I'm always giving advice, trying to teach her lessons, trying to say what you should have done here, and now you know, and moving forward, blah, blah, blah. I'm proud of you, but you did a good job, but there's always that. And like, I knew I did that, but I was thinking that's kind of my role, right? And it is. Like, I need to help teach her. But she asked me something that I'm get emotional thinking about it because it's a very mature question. But she asked me, she said, Dad, how did you learn all this stuff? Like, all this stuff you're teaching me, how did you learn it? And The reality is I learned it on my own, right? Now, I've had, like, through life, I've had some good mentors. My mom is fantastic. I've had some good men in my life to just teach me things. But most of the lessons I learned was not through people drilling it in my brain, like giving me advice all the time. I learned it just through experience and making mistakes, making bad choices, and realizing I can't keep doing that and things like that. And I don't think she was trying to make this point. I think she genuinely wanted to know who, because she knows my dad wasn't around, like who in my life taught me these lessons. And when she asked it, and that was my answer, was I kind of learned them, you know, just living, by living life. It made me realize that she needs to have that as well. And me trying to curate everything in her life as a lesson and to help her develop through my advice, is probably, to some degree, that's good. But for the most part, she needs to learn just like I did. She needs to learn to fail, which I put her in situations. Like, again, I'm always talking about curating these things for the kids, but it doesn't have to always be that. And everything doesn't have to always be a lesson. And sometimes it's okay for me to just sit back and watch her make a bad choice and let her deal with the consequences that come with that, whether it be, you know, a friendship issue or a bad grade or mess up something in sports or whatever it is. Let her just deal with it. And she doesn't need me come. What you should have done next time, you'll know. She's going to learn that. So her asking that question, and we had a lot of deep conversation over the weekend because we had so much time together. It let me know that I need to, she's at an age now and a maturity level now where I don't have to, every conversation, make it a lesson or a teaching moment. I just need to, I can still be dad, and there's a time and place for that stuff. A lot of times she'll ask me for that stuff. But for the most part, I just need to be support for her, right? Praise her even more. And if I use every single thing she does, even the good stuff, as a chance to try to teach her something, then, like, she's always going to have this feeling that she's, it's a, like a, yeah, but, you did good, but, like, it's never enough for me. So that was the biggest takeaway for me. And I told her, like, I'm committed to doing a better job. Now, she doesn't mind it. She didn't present it to me in a way like, this bothers me. But I can read between the lines, and I know I picked up what she was putting down. Like, just be Jason. Just be who you are with all, and all the grace that you show, all that, like, I'm around just through coaching, and, you know, my wife's a teacher. We're just around kids all the time, and I show everybody love and grace, and I don't teach them every step of every day or every second of every day. I do that with my own kids, and she needs me, and so does JJ, to just let them be kids and let them figure some things out on their own without me preaching to them all the time. So that's a big takeaway. Now, again, there's going to be moments where I've got to step up and say, hey, you need to hear this. And this is why, because I've been through this and you're going through it. And let me help you kind of maybe dance around some hurdles you could be facing in life. So that was a giant takeaway from me. On the drive back from Utah to Las Vegas, we flew out of Vegas and to get home, and but on the drive back, I asked Emma, like, we talked about a lot of things we learned on this trip, because they did a lot of exercises, the girls did, with each other, to kind of, like, some deep thinking exercises and stuff like that. We weren't a part of it. You know, we did some daddy-daughter exercises, but a lot of times we were split up into different rooms, and we had two houses. They were in one house, we were in another. But I asked her, I said, let's come up with three things that our family, like, kind of defines who we are and what we lean into, what we're about. It just defines us, kind of like our family's core rules, if you will, core things we're going to live by. And there's a lot of things that could go on this list. But we talked, and we were joking and telling stories about our family and things we've done and stuff like that. But it was all to come up with these three things. And this is what we came up with, and I'm going to kind of close it with this. The three things that, and I'm not, there's more things that define us, our family, than this, but this is three things we're going to lean into, and we're going to make it and keep it. It already is, but we're going to keep it a big part of who we are moving forward. Everything is approached with good attitude and good effort. That's number one, right? I've talked about that relentlessly on this podcast, and I know it gets annoying sometimes, but that we will approach, try, like the good effort will be always trying to keep a good attitude through adversity, through good times, bad times, stuff like that. But we approach life with good attitude and good effort. Number two, we treat life as an adventure. Life is an adventure. And by that, we mean we're going to be excited. And Emma helped come up with these things, like just through talking. But we're going to be excited about every day, every trip, every moment, because we never know when it's going to end. We're only here, relatively speaking, for a short period of time, and we're going to make the most of it. And it's going to be adventurous. And we're going to get outside of our comfort zone, just like we did going out to Utah for this trip. We made it an adventure. Life is an adventure. That's number two. And number three, and I'll say it like I say it, it's going to be a little different for the kids, but we figure shit out. We figure it out. So we have a good attitude and effort. We treat life like an adventure, and we figure stuff out. And that's what we came up with. So I'm ordering some wall art for both of the kids, and we're going to, you know, this is going to be on their walls, and it's going to be like the core of everything we do is going to be centered around these things. Attitude and effort, life is an adventure, and we figure stuff out. And that's it. Everything else, there's so many tentacles to that, you know, we're ethical, we're honest, we're good people, we're trustworthy, we're respectful, we're positive, all these things, but we have good attitude and effort. We treat life like an adventure. We figure shit out. And that is the culmination of this daddy-daughter trip. We've gotten it. We've put it in concrete, and it is going to be everything we are about. And we're already kind of that way, but now we've got like a motto to put it behind with these three things. So my advice going forward, which is hard for me not to give advice, but whether you have, and I'm going to do a similar trip with JJ when he gets a little bit older. You know, Emma's 13 now. JJ, I was talking to him recently about like when you get a little older, what trip do you want to do? And I think me and him might take a hunting trip somewhere, and just, you know, he loves to hunt, and we'll figure that out down the road. But my advice is get you and your children out of their comfort zone. And if you have the resources to do this, find some kind of trip. Like even if it, like the Emma and I could have gone to Utah and Vegas by ourselves, just the two of us, and we would have had a blast. But doing it with some other dads and daughters who were also outside of their comfort zone, everybody there, nobody was extremely comfortable with this. I might have been the most comfortable as a father because I just loved doing adventures. You know, that's what it was to me. But take it. I mean, there were a couple dads and daughters there that openly said, especially the dads, that they had extreme anxiety around this, extreme anxiety. And on the end of it, not one person left that trip not better than what they showed up as. Everybody left with a better relationship and connection with their daughter, and everybody left with more confidence about doing these types of things, different perspectives from different dads. We all come from different backgrounds and stuff like that. So I challenge you to kind of lean into anything, any opportunity like that you may be able to find. And if you don't know where they're at or don't know how to find opportunities like that, connect with me and I can connect you with them. So with that, I think that's a good place to wrap and tie a bow around this bad boy. But daddy-daughter trip 2025, it will go down as something I will never forget. Neither will Emma. We will hold on to it forever. And I told her we're going to continue, maybe not as on, like we paid a decent amount of money for this, and it was a big adventurous trip that was very coordinated with the folks that put it on. But her and I are going to keep, you know, once a year do some type of a couple day getaway, even if it's to the beach for a couple days, just her and I, or just something different that we can get away and have that connection. Now, I want to carry that on as long as I can, because eventually she's 13. I'm going to blink my eyes. She's going to have kids of her own. It's going to be hard for me to curate these types of experiences between me and Emma, which makes me sad that, you know, that day will come. But then I'll have new things to lean into at that point. So With that, I'll wrap it up. I thank you guys for following along and hanging in there with me for this long. This is kind of a longer episode, but I had to share my experience, and I hope it's valuable to somebody. So I'll wrap up another Burning the Ships weekly ramble. We'll talk to you guys next week. Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Burning the Ships. I want to give a special thanks to our sponsor, 608B Capital, helping real estate investors secure fast, reliable funding to fuel their boldest moves. If you're ready to take your investing to the next level, visit 608bcapital.com to learn more. If you found value in today's episode, please take a moment to rate and review the podcast. Your feedback not only helps us improve, but it also helps us reach more people who are ready to burn the ships and commit fully to their goals. And don't forget to share the episode with someone who needs that extra push to take bold action. I'll leave you with this. Burning the ships isn't just about removing the option to retreat. It's about unlocking the courage to charge forward. No matter the odds, the past is behind you and the future is yours to conquer. Thank you for listening, and I'll see you next time on Burning the Ships.